And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
That doesn't sound good.
Paper shredder's jammed, but I think I fixed it.
Oh, well, try shredding these $50 bills then.
Seems like it's working.
Better try another $400.
Stop. Instead of using money, use regular paper. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.
This week on Dueling Review, it's Strange Skies Over East Berlin number 1 from Boom Studios. Herring is a disillusioned American spy stationed on the eastern side of the Berlin Wall, struggling with his role in a Cold War that seems to have no end. But when he's sent on a mission behind enemy lines to infiltrate East German intelligence, he soon learns the Soviets have a secret weapon that could change the tide of the conflict, an alien monster that they don't understand and can't control. The Soviets are about to learn that they're not in charge of the monster. It's already in their minds and has twisted them to their will. Now, Herring must find a way to understand the impossible before it transforms him into a monster unlike any other. Let us talk about Strange Skies Over East Berlin from Boom Studios. Now, we kind of knew this was going to be some weird UFO thing taking place in the 70s during the... maybe the height of the Cold War tensions, or at least approaching it. And we get introduced to this guy named Herring. You get it? He's Herring. He's a red herring because he's a spy. He's not who he's supposed to be. And he gets sent into the East Berlin because there's a UFO that crashed over there, and he goes over there and infiltrates it and find out that the German/Soviets have captured an alien. And honestly, the way this first issue ended, this is a 1970s retelling of The Thing.
Kind of, yeah. And I can definitely...
And maybe not John Carpenter's The Thing, The Thing from 1950s The Thing, right? Where the special effects aren't as good.
I was thinking, what's the one with Gort?
Oh, The Day the Earth Stood Still?
Day the Earth Stood Still. It's got that sort of... real world, what they call the real politic, kind of crossed together with some really crazy science fiction-y junk. And I don't know, the first time I read this, I was just kind of like, I really like the opening sequence. I feel like the opening sequence may be a little too brutal, but the opening sequence where they're, trying to break out of East Berlin and somebody's trying to escape to the West, this is the only chance you will have. Then gets interrupted by the white event, but there's no Ken Connell or Kickers Incorporated.
Watch
and
the
then
skies.
It starts getting wacky. And just,
well, I don't know if it gets wacky, but it just gets a little bit weird. And unfortunately, to me, a little bit tropey, a little bit we've seen this before kind of stuff. It feels like we're treading on familiar territory where lock down the facility. The alien could be any one of us. Don't let him control your mind. Shoot anybody that's trying to get out. What's going to happen to us?
Oh, and it turns out that your worst enemy is also trapped in this with you. And now, Mr. Herring, you have to face your evil counterpart.
Yeah. So I enjoyed the story enough to where I do want to continue to read it. I think this is probably only a 4-issue miniseries.
I think it's a 6, but...
maybe it's 6. It doesn't matter.
Actually, it's Boom, so it's probably 5.
No, with Boom, they usually either do 4 or 6. But I'm into this enough to where I'm like, you know what? I'm down with whatever story that they want to tell us. I think that it could be very interesting. I love aliens. I love Cold War stuff. I think this stuff is all really, really cool sounding, and I think it's got a cool premise. But at the same time... what is it? What's that game? Midnight Werewolf, or what's the one where you try to figure out who the werewolf is in your gaming
party? I think
it's
called Who's the Werewolf?
Yeah, something like that. Somebody in the chat will remember. Oh, by the way, the Discord
Secret
channel
werewolf.
Is listening to us. That's what it is, Secret Werewolf. There's also a Secret Hitler game and all that stuff. And we do have a Discord. If you want to listen to this show live as we record it, we do this on Thursday nights, 8 o'clock p.m. Central Time. You can join our Discord server. And you can come and listen in, especially, I think, Dexter, tell me, do you have to be a, I think you have to be a patron to be able to listen to this. But yes, Secret Werewolf is, I think, the name of the game. But go check out our Discord server. A lot of cool stuff going on, even if you're not a patron. We'll come back around to Patreon in just a minute.
Yeah.
The art in this issue, though, Matthew, blown away. Page one, first panel. Yes. I'm just like, holy moly, this art is fantastic.
Yes, this is drawn by Lisandro Esteran, which is a name that I'm going to remember because this is like a really great cross between Fraser Irving, who did that series with Commandy, or not Commandy, with Clarion the Witch Boy, like 15, 16 years ago.
Yeah, I remember that one.
And a little bit of Frank Miller back when he was good, and just elements of tons of different things that I enjoy. There's a little bit of where I'm just like, is that some Peter Chung? Oh my God, is that some Richard Corbin? But all the way through this, I'm just stunned. There's a scene right after the UFO incident where we cut to the next morning, and it's just this sunlit scene on a street where Herring is standing and talking to somebody under the elevated train tracks. And it's gorgeous. The whole panel is gorgeous. I look at that and I'm like, I wonder if Spider-Man's going to swing by. And then I realize it's not New York. And
it's East of Berlin. No, it's really cool. I mean, it really looks good. The coloring is fantastic in this. I don't have the colors in front of me, but I dig this. It's a kind of thin, sketchy. It's a thin, sketchy kind of line that we see with all the characters, and the character work is really solid. You can tell who the characters are. I just really dig the art. And so I guess for me, this is, I really don't have a lot to complain about. What about you? Do you have things that you don't like about this book? I mean, like I said, it's a little bit falls into familiar territory.
Well, and it is, you know, that pitch issue, that first get them all hooked kind of thing, which is always kind of problematic and has moments where I feel like there's a lot of places where this hook 'em fast mentality can work against you. You know, where Rodrigo talks about this a lot on the MSP, where you get a first issue that is four issues worth of stuff to make sure that they get all the readers on board so that they can do the remaining five issues of the mini.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of this here. I feel like this may be more than one issue worth of stuff. I would have liked maybe, you know, a little bit more build and build and build, but we do very quickly get to the weird alien-y stuff, and the weird alien-y stuff is very weird and very unnerving. I don't really have any complaints other than it's kind of a slow burn to get into for me, and even that is a minor complaint because it did hook me. And by the time, you know, we get to the point where he's in the secret underground base and being told by the wicked evil matron that she'll shoot him if he asks too many questions, you're there, you're in.
I guess I was a little
that building, actually.
Yeah, I guess I was a little surprised at how quickly they got to the alien stuff. I thought there'd be a lot more of it's somewhere on this base, you know, like an Area 51 type facility,
and he was going
to and he was going to have to snoop around and constantly risk exposure of his spy activities at every turn until he, you know, until like if this were a five chapter story until you get to issue three and then he finally gets in or the end of issue three where he finally gets into the base. And then issue four was, you know, getting back the technology or blowing up, you know, the alien is dead or something like that. And he has to blow the thing up and then get out. This is really interesting. But like I said, it really kind of feels a lot like the thing about we don't know who's being infiltrated or who's being controlled.
There's some, you know, some mid-season X-Files in here, and there's some James. It's what I like to think of as sort of a James Bond X-Files John Carpenter take on Donnie Brasco, and that's not a bad thing. I mean, having those obvious influences, having those moments where you're like, this is clearly influenced by something, you know, even if it's something you don't like, if it's something that's just noteworthy or meaningful, especially in a first issue, that can be something for the audience to actually, you know, get attached to glom onto and go, okay, I'm willing to sit down and read five more issues of this because the familiar parts appealed to me long enough for me to get hooked on what they're doing.
Right, right, right. So for me, I say this is an interesting read. If Cold War spy stories with aliens taking over people's bodies with lots of blue blood running out of people's eyes and electricity shooting everywhere. If that's not for you, then you're probably going to want to avoid this issue. But yep. this kind of works for me, so I really enjoyed it. So I'm giving this a thumbs up.
I will give it a thumb at about 85 degrees. It's almost entirely up. There aren't really any huge glaring problems with it. And I feel like with so many series, I say this over and over and over. Once I have more of it, if I'm reading it in mm-hmm. a trade, I think it's mm-hmm. going to read really well.
Right. So listeners, we wound up reviewing Strange Skies over East Berlin number one this week because our listeners went over to patreon.com/majorspoilers and they looked for the post that says, hey, pick the comic for next week's dueling review. And in the comments section, they said, we want you to review Strange Skies over East Berlin. You don't even have to be a paying patron to participate in this. This is open to the public. This is open to all of our listeners. So you listening right now, there's no excuse, literally no excuse for you to stop what you're doing. Get over to patreon.com/majorspoilers. Find the post that says, here's what's coming up next week.
Dueling review for October 9th, 2019.
Yeah. And then telling us what issue you want us to review. I mean, it's really that simple. It is so easy that anyone can do it. And Matthew doesn't.
Even a child could do it.
A child could if they wanted. An infinite number of monkeys could probably do it. No, they don't need a credit card. They don't need a credit card. It's free. It's open to the public.
That's true. I was thinking about becoming a patron and kicking in a couple extra bucks.
So we've been releasing this show for free for how many years? Like 6 years or something like that? Maybe a little bit more.
I don't even know, man. Four, five, seven.
Five years we've been releasing
somewhere
this free for you.
2 and 14 years.
You find even a little bit of value in what we're sharing with you, if you find a little bit of information useful, you get a little chuckle out of something that I say or that Matthew says, and you find any value in that, how about giving a little bit back? You can sign up to become a Patreon member for as little as $1 a month, but we find the average is right at that $5 mark, Matthew.
Yeah, and at that $5 mark, you do get, as Stephen mentioned, access to the live dueling review. That is something Textora has confirmed is accessible to all patrons, so you can come sit in with us on the show. At the $5 tier, you get Critical Hit a whole week early. You get a whole extra podcast.
What?
Yeah, you get the Flashback podcast, which is coming back like next week.
You know, we have pre-show chatter on the Major Spoilers podcast, so it's almost like you're getting two bonus shows a week.
Two bonus shows a week. And, you know, bonus tracks, I will grant you, we need to do a new one. But here's the thing. There's a ton of them there. You can go. You can access them. You can watch Condor Man with Steven and I. And it's like we're going to be in your living room and you'll be living in a nightclub in San Francisco. Probably not what I meant to say. But either way, all of the stuff that you can get at majorspoilers.com. Plus, even if you don't, if you can't, if you aren't a patron, you can still participate in our dueling review experiment and try and torture us with a terrible and or delight us with a good comic next week.
Let's dive into some of the comics coming out next week and see what might wind up on our show next week. From Boom Studios, we have Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Angel, and the Hellmouth, number one. I am personally really looking forward to that. We have Ghost in L.A. number 4, not to be confused with Susie and the Banshees Walking in L.A. Is that Susie and the Banshees? I forget. Doesn't matter. I've been listening to too much Channel 33 on the Sirius XM. Rangers number 24, Ronin Island number 7 are all out from Boom Studios next week. Dark Horse Comics has Black Hammer Justice League number 4, the penultimate issue there. Triage number 2, no idea what that is about. And there is
Triage
a Baltimore.
Triage is about trees.
Oh, okay. I'm tree age, so it's the age of trees. All right. Also, there's a Baltimore Omnibus Hardcover Volume 1. That Baltimore series, if you're into Mike Mignola stuff, this is a really weird series. Baltimore the Vampire Hunter. So there you got Buffy and Baltimore both coming to your doorsteps, to your comic book shops next week. DC Comics next week has Batman and the Outsiders number 6, Batman Giant number 1, or maybe it's Batman Giant number 1. Batman's Grave, number 1. Batman's dying? I didn't know that.
Catwoman. No, it's telling you that he is.
Oh, okay. Batman's maybe he's very serious.
He's very serious.
Batman's Grave.
I've never seen an episode of Seinfeld.
Detective Comics 1013. Event Leviathan, number 5 of 6. Harley Quinn and Poison Ivy, number 2. Justice League Odyssey, number 14. Superman, number 16. And Wonder Woman, number 80, arrive next week. Dynamite Wonderful. Entertainment. Oh, my gosh, Matthew.
Yeah.
You're not going to believe this. Next week, what? Battlestar Galactica Classics, Counter-Strike Trade Paperback, 1999.
Ooh.
Yeah, Red Sonja, number 8. Red Sonja, Vampirella, Betty, and Veronica, number 5. Vampirella number 3 and Vampirella Red Sonja number 2 come out next week. It's a lot of Vampirella and Red Sonja. More than you can shake a stick at. Yes. IDW Publishing has Cobra Kai, Karate Kid Saga Continues number 1 of 4. Man, I'm tempted to just close the polls right now and put that one down. But nope, that wouldn't be fair. Oh, Star Wars Adventures, Return to Vader's Castle, number 2. TMNT Urban Legends, number 17. Image
the Castle
Comics,
of Vader.
Yep. Image Comics next week has Battle Pug, number 2. Let's see. Spawn 301. You know, they gave Todd McFarlane in a world's record, a Guinness Book of World's Record for longest running independent comic to reach 300 issues.
He overcame Sarah Herbels that did 300.
Yeah, so he got the Guinness Book of World Records for that, which I'm going to be interested. This will be interesting because what's Savage Dragon at?
I think they just had a 67 way, so I think it's 266.
So, you know, I would bet that Eric Larson surpasses Todd McFarlane within the next 3 years on this.
I don't know. I mean, Larson has been very, very on time for the last 4, 5, maybe even 10 years. But there was a while when you get three issues of Savage Dragon a year. So we'd have to see.
Yeah, I'm going to bet that we're going to see that record broken in the next couple of years by another Image Comics founder. So there you go.
Break the record.
Marvel Comics next week has Absolute Carnage, Miles Morales, number 3, the final issue there, Doctor Doom, number 1. Future Fight Firsts, White, what is this? Future Fight Firsts. Oh, that's what it is. Future Fight Firsts, White Fox number 1. I was like, Future Fight Firsts, White Fox. And I'm like, well, that doesn't make any sense. Gwynpool Strikes Back number 3.
Future first.
House of X number 4. That's a second printing arrives there. Loki number 4. Miles Morales, Spider-Man number 11. Powers of 10 number 6. The final issue there. And then we're just going to be inundated with a bunch of new X-Men books in, what is it, November, October?
Because I think November we're going to get a slew of them, 6
Marauders, Marauders and Excaliburs and a bunch of other things are all coming. True Believers,
Uncanny
X-Men.
X-Men.
Betsy Braddock, number 1, for only a buck. Also Betsy True Believers, Braddock. X-Men Pyro, number 1, for only a buck. And then Unbeatable Squirrel Girl, number 49, for $4. In all the rest category, we have Belladonna number 1. We have Crossed Badlands number 75, 1999 book there. Wow. Okay.
I think that's got like a super special glow in the dark flaming cover.
I'm sure it does. Jughead Hunger, Jughead the Hunger versus Vampironica number 5. It's a lot to say. Jungle Fantasy Annual 2019, Jungle Fantasy Ivory number 1, Jungle Fantasy Secrets number 0, the Royal Blue Leather cover for $29.99, and Jungle Fantasy Survivors number 1 that has a nude and naughty A, B, and C covers. Livewire number 11 comes out.
Is nude not inherently naughty, or am I overthinking?
No, nudity is not. See, that's a problem. You know, nudity isn't always naughty. But certain things that you do when you're nude could be construed as naughty or against the community standards. And then people would say, oh, that's indecent. Very rarely you're going to see it be obscene because then it can be censored. But
not approved by the Comics Code Authority.
Well, that doesn't exist anymore. But indecent is probably okay. Naughty is further down the list. I think naughty is the one that has, you know, with Dr. Evil with his pinky extended.
And in between them is lewd.
Yes, lewd content. Ravening, number 1. Or maybe it's Ravening, number 1. I don't know.
Who knows?
Shows End, number 1. Second printing there. Superior AOC, number 1. That's from Oh, who is that from?
Blue Water, I think.
No. It's a new blue wave world or whatever. We were talking about them this week on the Major Spoilers podcast. Threshold Allure number 2, and we're going to wrap up this list this week with Zorro, Rise of the Old Gods number 2. That's just a quick look at some of the comics coming out next week. Like I said, you could head over to patreon.com/majorspoilers, and you could look at all of the brand new comics coming out, and then let us know which ones you want us to review. I think that's where we're going to wrap up the show this week. Thank you so much for downloading and checking out Dueling Review. We will be back next week to review a book that you choose. And also, we might get to hear Matthew say,
"Dead dog in alleyway this morning. Tire tread on stomach."
This podcast is copyright 2019 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.
And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
Marcus, what happened?
I was changing my oil and I spilled some on the floor.
Oh, well, use these $50 bills to wipe it up.
Perfect. Got any more?
Yeah, take a couple hundred.
Stop. Instead of using money, use an old rag. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.